Hey Chad, you got us?
I do. Hi.
All righty. Thank you so much for joining us and thank you for your patience there. We're now joined by Chad Knaus, the crew chief of the winning number 24 Hendrick Motorsports team. Can you just walk us through this, what it feels like to be with William to get that first win and then the playoff berth?
Yeah, the emotions obviously have run rampant over the last few weeks with the position we've been in. It's been unfortunate that the 24 has been back this far and needing to battle so hard for the playoff spot. But coming into the weekend, we were optimistic. We felt like we were going to have a good race car. Felt like the car was going to perform well. We knew William was really good at super speedway racing. He's done exceptionally well at the restrictor plate tracks, and we've been able to get a lot of stage points. So going into today, we really didn't know what was going to happen. Obviously, there was a lot of a lot of excitement and energy coming into the track this weekend. And to be able to get out there and race competitively all race long, and William do a really good job of missing some pretty critical crashes out there, put us in a good spot to go out there and get the victory, which was great for Liberty and everybody at Hendrick Motorsports. It was a long time coming. Obviously, the goal for me was to try to get to victory lane with this 24 car again, and to be able to do it here in Daytona is really special.
Awesome. Well, we are going to open up the floor to the media for questions. Just quick raise your hand if you have a question for Chad, and we will get to you. Let's kick it off here with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Chad, you've been part of a lot of big moments and big time performance. How big is this in the sense of Byron, with all the pressure on, wins this race?
I think it's really big, obviously. The one thing that, to be selfish from my standpoint is, I wanted to get to victory lane, and with a car number as a crew chief without Jimmy Johnson on top of the door. Nothing against Jimmy or any of that, but just to do it, to see if I could accomplish it. And we've come close. We've had some really solid runs with the 24 car. Not as many this year as what we would like to have had, but to be able to do this is really means a lot. And to be able to bring this team into the playoffs again, I think that last year in the playoffs we performed pretty well. I'm really excited about the playoffs this year. I think we got some racetracks coming up that will run competitive, and I'm excited about that. And we'll see what goes.
And what were your thoughts on that first red flag where you knew it was going to take something like what you saw to get in the playoffs?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
I
I got
said,
it
what were you
tight.
thinking on the first red flag when you're sitting there and you're out
Yeah.
and you got two experienced guys ahead of
Uh-oh.
you?
Yeah, obviously it was we were curious of what was going to happen, and we knew there was a long ways to go before the race is over with. Laps here at Daytona just take forever, and there's so many opportunities for guys to be aggressive and push, and we knew that there was going to be a lot more action before the race is over with. And we needed to get ourselves in a position to get out there and battle with it, and William, held true and did a really good job of keeping focus, keeping his eyes forward, watching the guys behind him. Tab, our spotter, did a really good job of keeping him informed of what was happening around us, and luckily we got skirted through that next crash, and we were in a really good position.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, Chad, sorry about that. Congratulations on getting into the playoffs here. That being said, how do you move forward and try to make sure that this team advances? Because I know obviously the goal isn't just to be in the playoffs, it's to do work in the playoffs.
Well, it's all in the details, right? And we've got to make sure that we execute properly. Going to Darlington, it's a great racetrack for us. We've run well there. We sat on the pole there last year, ran up front in the spring race, or the first race in the spring this year. Unfortunately, we had a loose wheel and crashed. Second race, we ran reasonable. But we didn't execute the details as well as what we needed to. So getting back to Charlotte, getting to work on Monday, and executing the way we need to make sure we take a great race car over there, I think we've got a competitive opportunity to go there and run up towards the front, and that's what we need to do. I don't know where we start. I'm sure Bob, you could probably tell me, or somebody, where our starting position is, and that's going to be critical with pit selection and where we're going to be. But if we can start up towards the front and get our legs out from underneath us and get going, well, I think we're going to be okay.
You mentioned the Jimmy aspect of this, and you trying to get a win without him. How do you handle the emotions of this win, having a role at least in excluding Jimmy from the playoffs in his final season?
Well, Man, come on. That's. I mean, I feel awful. You know, let's be quite honest, right? You know, Jimmy shouldn't be in this position. You know, if it hadn't been for COVID and him missing a race, he should have been solid in the playoffs. And that hurts. I hate it for Jimmy. You know, he's one of my best friends, and he was the first guy that came by pit road and looked up at me, revved up the engine, and gave me a thumbs up. You know, and he means the world to me. He's a great man and a brother of mine. So it hurts me, but it is what we do. Unfortunately, we compete, and we've got to go do what it is that we need to do.
Appreciate your time. Thanks.
All right, we're going to take our next one from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Chad, the red flag there, during the red flag, you seem kind of going back and forth on whether to pit and whether you had a tire rub or not. What was the thought process there? It could seem like there was some indecision. Can you walk me through that?
Oh, man, it was tough. It was tough. Obviously, we knew we had some damage on the left rear tire, at least some contact, because the lettering was rubbed off the sidewall of the tire. So there was some contact there. We didn't really know how bad it was. And it was a tough spot, right? So we knew that we were ahead of the 48 at that point, or we should have been, obviously, or we would have been if we came down pit road. But then there was the opportunity for the 95 or maybe the 17 that were up there that could have pushed through and maybe gotten the win, which would have then bumped us out. So we had to make a decision on whether to go for it and see if we can make it for the two laps or pit. And with the way our luck has been this year, quite honestly, I was leaning towards pitting and making sure that the fenders were clearance from the tires and getting out there and just getting a good finish and making sure we finished five or six spots ahead of the 48. But as we ran around and we got some help from our TV partners out there, and they took the drone and they were kind of running around the car, and I was able to see what the damage looked like, and it helped us realize that we felt like that we were clear and that we could make it a couple of laps.
Does this prove yourself? Does it prove to anyone else that, hey, I can win without Jimmy Johnson, with one of the greatest drivers of all time?
Well, you know, I mean, it makes me feel good for sure, but I mean, Jimmy could have probably won a lot more races if he had a better crew chief than me. How's that?
Okay, last question for me. On the radio, after you guys won the race and the team is celebrating, the crew guys are going out there, you're still being a crew chief. You're still kind of reprimanding him a little bit, and you seemed a little bit subdued. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, the big dummies. I told them to go out there so they get on TV and get a good picture of themselves, but I told them to stay 6 feet apart, and the first thing they did was go over there and pick up the driver. So we'll be handing out some team fines for that one, I guess. I don't know what's going to happen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But is that part of that, though? Is like you have a young team, and you've kind of got to mold them, and you kind of got to shape them, and you kind of got to stay on top of them?
Yeah, I mean, that's – well, you have to do that with any team. And I think any head coach or coach does that, right, if you're trying to keep your guys safe and do what's right. Because in this situation, you know, we've got to make sure that we're being smart about how we approach everything at the racetrack. And, you know, yeah, so I was – just tell them to give each other some space. Still enjoy the time, but get some space.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take our next question from Daniel McFadden. Go ahead, Daniel.
So after how long it took William to get this win and all the extenuating circumstances with the playoff battle entering tonight, how do your feelings tonight compare to what you experienced with Jimmy back in 2002 at Fontana?
Oh, geez. I don't know if I can remember back that far. That was a long time ago. It's a different emotion. It's a different time. Obviously, in 2002, it was just different. It was so raw and so pure and just a different time. You know, William is experiencing those emotions right now, obviously, and I think it's fantastic. We've got a handful of guys on the team that have never won a cup race before, so they're going through those same emotions. For me, it's quite honestly probably a little bit more of a relief than maybe the elation of victory, I'll be honest with you, because I really wanted to get to victory lane with this 24 car again, and to be able to do it with the legacy that Jeff Gordon and Ray Evernham started with this car at Hendrick Motorsports, to be able to get it back in victory lane, follow suit with what Chase was able to do with the 24 car, and then now to put William's name up there is a really special thing, and it's a lot of pressure, but I feel really happy about it, and definitely a lot of relief.
Great. We'll take our next question from Stephen Conley. Go ahead, Stephen.
Chad, throughout this race, obviously, it stayed calm for the most of the part, and then obviously, like Daytona typically plays out, you get some of those big wrecks at the end. Did you guys see this playing out as kind of previous Daytona races, or was it had a little bit different feel with it being here in the end of August?
I think it definitely had a little bit more. Well, I guess it depends on the situation you're in, right? If you're a guy that's locked into the playoffs and you got a bunch of wins and you don't have to worry about a whole much, it probably felt just like it did in July, you know, from their perspective. For myself and the 21 and the 48 and the handful of guys that were trying to win a race to make it into the playoffs, I guarantee you the intensity was way higher, and the pressure that they all felt was significantly different. So for me, it was high. It was really high. But quite honestly, I love it. That's why we do what we do. That's why we compete. If it was easy, nobody would want to do it. So yeah, it felt really good after the race when we got that checkered flag.
And Chevrolet's performance at the start of the year was, it looked like you guys were back, strong cars, and then obviously COVID and then the summer months came. Where do you guys feel now that you're into the playoffs as competitive with maybe some of the top guys and having to close that 50-point gap to Harvick?
Gee whiz, man. Already asking me that question, huh? So I think that our Super Speedway program is fantastic and looks really good, so I feel like that we can go to Talladega and race well there. Obviously, our road course package is really good, so I feel comfortable with that. Darlington, I think we get around there pretty well. Martinsville, we get around really well. Probably the sticking point for me right now is Richmond. I'm not really certain about Richmond. Some of those guys run really well there, and we haven't as of late. Phoenix, I think we can run pretty well. So, man, I think we got a shot. Our intermediate package is picking up speed. I think we've seen that. Based off the performance at Dover last weekend, I think we ran really well along with our teammates. So I think that kind of shows what we're capable of. Now, we ran well on Sunday. We didn't run great on Saturday, but I think you get my point. So I think we've got a shot to get up there and fight with these guys a little bit. But, you know, I'm not going to say we can't, but we haven't shown that we can get out there and run with those guys and win races as consistently as they can and finish in the top five as consistently as they can. But sometimes all it takes is a little spark to light a fire, and maybe this is just that spark.
Thanks, Chad. Best of luck in the final 10.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next one from Jonathan with the Racing Experts. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, Chad, congratulations on the win tonight. I read something out there that said you have now made the playoffs, like every single playoffs. Just kind of like explain how that feels to you, just in your place as some of the all-time greatest crew chiefs. Like, how does that feel?
I think it's great. Obviously, it's an honor to be able to be in this position and battle year in and year out for the championship. Some have been better than others, obviously, but I do feel that, you know, some of the guys that I've seen come and go through our sport are better crew chiefs than myself. I just maybe had a little bit of luck on my side from time to time to get us to this position. So it's pretty cool. Hopefully that, you know, maybe that'll go on my plaque one day when they hang it on the wall. Who knows?
All right, and we are going to take our final question for Chad from Sterling with KCOU. Go ahead, Sterling.
Chad, first of all, congrats on the win tonight. A couple of questions that I have real quick. The first one, with 15 to go, bringing William down pit road, that was it cost a lot of track position at the time, but was there any doubt that William was going to be stuck back there, or what was the decision, what was the process behind making that call?
Yeah. Man, I was kicking myself in the butt right after we did it, and we were only – well, I was a little frustrated. I was like, man, maybe we shouldn't have done that. Maybe we should have stayed out. But quite honestly, I see maneuverability be so important at the end of these races, and getting tires at this track on a short run like that I think is a good thing. I feel like we were going to get back up there and run. Crashes happen. Having fresh tires is easier for the drivers to navigate around the crashes. So we opted to do it. And we've had success in the past making some decisions like that. Even though at one point there, it wasn't looking great, but it panned out, you know, it kind of happened the way we thought it was going to. If we'd have been up front, we probably would have been swept up in that wreck with the 3 and the 1 and all of those guys. So I think it was the right call now looking back, and it was the right call at the time.
a quick follow-up. I know you've faced a lot of questions tonight concerning Jimmy Johnson, but I'll ask one more about Jimmy. What was it like, the transition between being the crew chief for Jimmy and now being the crew chief for William Byron? Did you have to change the way you were a crew chief for the different drivers?
Yeah, of course, obviously. But I also had to change the way I was a crew chief for Jimmy from when we started in 2002 to when we ended, you know, in the middle 2015s. So it's, I think, look, like I've said, you know, I'm a good crew chief. I'm not the best crew chief that's ever walked out there by any means, but I think a good coach understands the situation and understands how to morph and adapt to the circumstances that you're in, and working with William is a completely different set of circumstances than what it was working with a seven-time championship driver. And I think we've done a pretty good job. Great? No, but we've done a pretty good job, and we've been able to make the playoffs both years, and now we're fortunate enough to have a victory, and hopefully we can get out there and have some success in the final 10 races.
Thanks, Chad. Good luck in the final 10.
Thank you.
All right, Chad. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Congratulations on the win, and we will see you at Darlington.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And to all of the media, that will conclude our post-race media availability. As a reminder, we will have the audio, video, and transcripts from these up on NASCARmedia.com shortly. And if you have any questions, please reach out to anyone from the NASCAR communications team. Thank you guys so much.